Let me invite you back to Mark chapter 1. We have entitled our message tonight, Are You Clean? And just let's, with the Word of God open before us, seek the Lord for needed help as we come to the preaching of this precious Word. Our gracious, eternal, loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy presence. Thy presence makes the feast. We thank the Lord for even the truths of the hymns we've been singing. We praise the Lord yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus is the same. And oh God, we recognize, Lord, that while everything changes around us, Thou changest not. Lord, that Thy power is still the same. We thank the Lord there's power still in the precious blood to cleanse the vilest sinner. Lord, we would pray that Thou would come. Thou might, Lord, help us as we turn to Thy Word just now. Give us, Lord, concentration. Take away the thoughts of tomorrow and this week. And we pray, Lord, that Thou would shut us in, even with Thyself this evening. We realize, Lord, we have a great adversary against us. We're no match for him, but Lord, we thank Thee that Satan to Jesus must bow. And we pray, Lord, against the devil tonight, as he would seek to have his plans for this meeting. And we pray, Lord, for the covering of the blood. We ask, Lord, that Thou would cause Thy Word to run and to be glorified. And Lord, we pray there will be signs following, even the preaching of it. O God, we pray as Thee, Lord, we're still in the day of Thy grace. Thou art still saving souls. Lord, do it tonight for Jesus' sake. I pray, Lord, to that end Thou would fill us with Thy Spirit. Give me words that must and shall prevail. Give us those prevailing words. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Of all the miracles of Christ, during His earthly ministry, there are those that stand out, and there are those that are more marvelous than others. And when we think of what Isaiah was to prophesy concerning the Savior, we know that, of course, he was to speak of His death, that we find in Isaiah chapter 53. But you know, Isaiah was also to speak of his ministry and the reason why he came to this earth. Well, we read in Isaiah 61 in the words of verse 1, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound." And you know, it's not long. We haven't to travel far into the gospel account and narrative of Mark before we see those words being fulfilled. Christ came that he might preach. What was his message? Mark 1 verse 15. Repent and believe the gospel. And throughout the towns of Galilee, the Savior was found to go, and he was found to preach the word, and he was to heal those who were oppressed of the devil. And there were those who were held captive by many a snare, none more so than those who had diseases in body and in mind. And that which must strike us in the opening chapter of Mark's account is how busy the Savior was. After he was to heal Peter's mother-in-law, that meant that Peter, of course, was married. He had a wife. The sun beginning to set, there still came the multitudes unto the Savior at that house, and bringing the sick and those that were diseased and those that were possessed of the devil. But even though that was a full day, yet we read that he arose early in the morning to go into that quiet place in order to pray. Look at the words of verse 35. "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed." And we can expect to see power after a time of prayer. And this was what his disciples were to experience. For when they were eventually to find him, their message was, "All men seek for thee." If only that were true in this our day and generation. And you know, men and women, that's how it is in the times of revival. You take up the history of revival in past days. There's an act of seeking of the things of God. There's an act of seeking for God to the extent that it has been reported in this very land that everything else, including the business, it seemed to be at a standstill. The most important matter in life is no longer that which is passing, but it is the eternal well-being and welfare of the soul. And here the disciples come and they say, all men seek for thee. I wonder, is there one who has come in under the sound of the word for that very reason? You maybe have heard the word that says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. You may indeed remember the words of Jeremiah where God says, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye search for me with all your heart. And there's a seeking in your heart tonight where there may not have been before. And God has put it there. And the Savior was to go into those towns and preach. He spake as never man spake. And he showed his authority by casting out the devils. But this day, he was to be met with a man who lived out the truth spoken in Jeremiah. What his name was, what his age was, we're not told. It doesn't really matter. And while his meeting with the Lord, it only covers 3 verses. Yet I want you to understand that it's recorded in 3 out of the 4 gospel narratives. For he was the man who was to experience the heart and the hand of the Lord in motion, and who heard the Savior's words, which I desire to turn into a question to your heart tonight. Are you clean? Because you'll look at the words of my text in verse 41. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. I want you to notice, first of all, and there are 3 simple thoughts that even the youngest child will understand. The first one is the leper. You remember that, the leper. Although we don't know much about this man, yet one word sums up all that we need to know. You'll find it in the words of verse 40. Leper. That's it. Leper. And there came a leper to him. If ever there was a needy people, then it was the lepers that were found in the land of Israel in those days. Leprosy was a very common disease. For stretching back into the Old Testament, of course, we would remember Naaman. And Naaman is known as Naaman the leper in the days of Elisha. And the laws concerning the lepers were given to the nation of Israel in the Levitical times and the Levitical writings. And there it stressed the fact that the leper was one who had to be an outcast from society. They were isolated. They were obliged to stay in the separate house. They were obliged to stay outside the city walls. And it left them untouchable by the rest of mankind. Such was the nature of this disease. A medical doctor has described it as this, and how it affects the different parts of the body. And I quote, the hair falls from the head and eyebrows. The nails loosen, decay, and drop off. Joint after joint of the fingers and toes shrink up and slowly fall away. The gums are absorbed. The teeth disappear. The nose, the eyes, the tongue, and the palate are slowly consumed. That's the medical doctor's rendition of what this disease left a person. Here is a disease which is nothing but a horrible and a lingering death. It affects every faculty of the body. It affects the walk. It affects the talk. It affects the taste and the sight. From top to bottom, once it starts, it continues until finally it eats the body up altogether. And that's the sort of condition that this man was in. And Luke gives the added detail that he was full of leprosy. So he is far on in the disease. But I want you to understand that this leper recognized his need. He wasn't one who was in denial of it. And that's why we read in the opening words of verse 40, and there came a leper to him. There was an honesty about this man. He knew all about the misery. He knew all about the pain that occurred because of this disease. He was one who recognized that he needed to be cured or else he would face an awful death. And I scarcely need to state it to you that when you read about leprosy in the Scriptures, then it is depicted as a greater disease of sin that is found in every man. The disease which covers every sinew and every cell of the body is sin. And Isaiah, that I've quoted from already, he brings it out. Because if you turn back to Isaiah chapter 1, you'll find how he describes it in verse 5 and 6. "And why should ye be stricken any more?" he says. "Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot even unto the head there's no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment." And that's a sorry sight. And it is that which brings forth death. And the more it spreads, then the more it eats away at the soul, bringing you nearer to that physical and that spiritual and that eternal death. And if there's one thing that is needed for the sinner, then it is a cure for their sin. Just the same as whatever. But sadly, not all recognize this plight as this man did. Not all are as honest as he was. For among the people of God tonight, in the house of God, there are those who are indifferent. And there are those of you, maybe you're careless to the state of your soul. There are others, and dare I say it, they love their leprosy of sin. They love their iniquity. They do not want and seek to give it up. They do not mourn over their sin, and neither do they seek to be delivered or cleansed from it. But not this man. He recognized his need, and that is why we find him making an approach as he does unto the only Savior from all sin. And note that with this leper, there's a reverence. It wasn't usual that the leper was allowed through the gates of the city. We know that he's in the city by the words of verse 45. "He went out and began to publish it much, and the blazer brought the matter in so much that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city." There's a man who had zeal, but it wasn't according to knowledge, as the Lord had directed him. Well, let's come back to the time and the point where he met him. And it wasn't normal that they went into the city, but this man was in so desperate a state that he was to make this dangerous expedition. He was to make his approach unto the Lord, no matter what the crowd thought, no matter what the ecclesiastical leaders might say or might do or might think about him. And you'll see that he does it with the utmost respect. Indeed, his actions were to complement his words. For we read that in verse 40, he beseeched the Lord, and kneeling down before him, he came there, in other words, in the spirit of humility, acknowledging at the very least that he was coming before a great prophet who taught the people. It may have been that he heard him preach. It may have been indeed that he heard about some of his miracles. But whatever the case was, this leper was to approach the Lord with honor, and he was to approach him with reverence. And Luke states that he fell on his face before him. There was no other to whom he could go to. He didn't go to the disciples, but his whole focus, his whole attention is given over to Christ. And if the guilty and dying soul is to be cured from their sin, then there must be a coming before God with reverence, with that earnestness, with that understanding that we find in Acts 4 and verse 12, that neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. I wonder, have you taken the penitent place yet? I wonder, have you sought the mercy and the favor of the Lord in your life? But you see, also this leper had a request. He just utters a few words. Again, in the words of verse 30, at beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, "If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." If the Lord didn't will it, then he would never be cleansed. He would never be made whole. You see, here's a man, and his request is couched in terms that acknowledged his sovereignty. He's Lord over all. Lord, if you wilt, But you know, his request also displays faith. If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. He believed that Christ had power, and that he had the power to cure him of this incurable disease. His faith was commendable, because up until this time, there was no leper healed by Christ. Oh, the lame had been made to walk, and the feverish had been raised from their sick beds, and the possessed of the devils were set free. But this, in all probability, was the first time that the Savior had been approached by a leper to be cleansed. What about you tonight? Under the sound of the gospel of Christ, do you recognize your state enough to seek the Lord and to make request unto him that he might save you, that he might cleanse you from all sin? I know this, that Christ has the power to save, and there's a willingness to save your soul. For he went to the cross of Calvary to die there for no sin of his own, but to die in the sinner's place, to shed his precious atoning blood. Why? That sinners unclean and sinners undone before a holy God might be saved, and they might be cleansed from the defilement and from the pollution of their sin, that they might possess eternal life. Would to God that you will be like this leper tonight. You would come beseeching him, and just kneeling down before him with that simple request, Lord, save me. We've seen the leper. Now, boys and girls, young people, the second one, the Lord. I tell you, simple headings. The leper, now the Lord. No sooner that this poor case brought his request unto the Lord, that were given the response that it was to be met with. You'll find something of that response in the words of verse 41. For there we read that Jesus was moved with compassion. Jesus was moved with compassion. That's a term which we often read of the Lord in relation to the multitudes. You turn over to Mark chapter 6, for example, and the words of verse 34, you'll notice he had compassion upon the crowds. I wonder, as you look at crowds today, do you have compassion for their soul? Well, the Savior, as he looked upon the crowds, verse 34 of Mark 6, and Jesus, when he was come out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were a sheep not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. He just looked upon them as a flock of sheep who had no shepherd, no spiritual shepherd to guide them in the way of truth and to guide them in the way of eternal life. But here's an instance where the compassion and the heart of the Savior was affected, and it was moved, and it was centered upon not a crowd, but just one individual. Thank God the Lord deals with individuals. You're just an individual tonight, and the Lord has a message for you. And does that not remind us that we have a faithful, we have a merciful high priest whose entire being was moved with compassion for the individual souls of lost mankind? The Samaritan who saw the man by the wayside while others looked, and while others passed by, that which set apart the Samaritan was that he had compassion on him. And that is illustrated to us in Luke chapter 10 and verse 33, where it says, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and he went to him. And he bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And men and women, you can't read about the parable of the Samaritan without seeing Christ. For Christ is the Samaritan. While others passed by, the Levite, and all the rest of it, he had compassion on him. And so does the heart of the Father. Remember the father who waited for the return of the prodigal son from the far country. And a great way off, the father, having compassion, we read, ran, and he embraced him, and he kissed him. And my dear loved one, the Savior is one who has compassion on those who are afar off, and those who are left to perish in their sin, so much so that he went to the cross. And there he gave himself, that the sinner might live. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You look at Calvary and you see the great love of God. You see the God's wrath against sin, of course, as well, but you see God's love. I want you to look again and see that the response of the Savior here was not only one of compassion, but it was one of coming into contact with the leper. His compassion wasn't just something motionless, something static, that it meant nothing on the outward, but rather we read in the words of verse 41, moved with compassion, he put forth his hand and touched him. Don't forget, he's a leper. Remember, the leper was the outcast of society. There was no one who would come near the leper, never mind touch them. But the Lord reached out to come in contact with this man, and he did so without being tainted by the disease itself, for he knew no sin. He was found in the likeness of sinful flesh, yet without sin. And the first touch of a human hand for many a long day for this man, and that this man experienced, was the contact of the Lord of glory. The very hand of the Christ of God. The very hand, the hands that will be stretched forth on Calvary's cross to receive those nails. Let me ask you tonight, have you known the touch of the Lord? Have you, a dying soul, came in contact with the Savior who is life? And have you experienced the Savior's power so that you never have been the same again? This man knew the compassion of the Lord. This man knew the contact of the Savior. That was what happened to this leper. For not only did the Lord come and contact him, but he also gave him a command. And part of that command was the very words that the leper himself requested. You look at the words of verse 41, and Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. The leper was to hear the command of the great physician. And he realized that there was no ifs and there was no buts with him, but that it was his will, then he would be cleansed. And when God commands, listen, it shall be done. If God speaks the word to your soul tonight, it shall be done. And dear loved one, that is what you need to hear this evening. It's a word, the effectual call of God. The preacher cannot cause an anxious thought. I cannot save your soul. This church cannot save your soul. But the Lord can save you. And when the Lord speaks through his word that is preached, and the Holy Spirit takes that word and applies it powerfully to the sinner's heart, I tell you, there's a different story. The soul understands that they have heard the voice of the Master, and the command of the Lord is still the same. Repent and believe ye the gospel. There must be the turning from sin unto God if your guilty and polluted and hell-bound soul is ever to pass from death unto life. And I remind you tonight that the call of the Lord is still, come unto me, all ye labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He's still the same. The same invitation still goes out. I wonder, what will you do with that invitation tonight? I wonder, will you come in simple faith to the Savior this evening, just like this leper did, and seek his cleansing and seek his power? If you do, you will find, and you will meet with the same response. For thank God, his arm is not shortened that it cannot see you, and his ear is not heavy that it cannot hear. And God will hear your cry tonight. If you come in simple childlike faith, and call upon the Lord to save you and cleanse you from all your sin. All right, we've seen the leper. And boys and girls, you remember the second one, the Lord. Now the third one, the life. No sooner had the Lord stretched forth his hand and commanded that he be clean, that this leper was to be cured. That day was when the power of the Savior was revealed. He had spoken the word and was done. It's not like the charismatic meetings these days where you have to come again and again and again. God spoke the word in Christ and it was done. And men and women, the word of the Master is still as powerful as it ever was. It's quick and it's powerful and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. He who spoke this world into being, he who upholds this world by the word of his power and all things in it, was to speak words of power and cleansing to this leper. He said, I will be thy clean. That same power can be experienced in the heart of the sinner this evening. Just as it was by this leper, for consider that his power wasn't delayed in its effect. You look at the words of verse 42. And as soon as he had spoken immediately, the leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed. As soon as he had spoken. That's how instant this leper's life was changed. And that's how God works in salvation. His power can be revealed both suddenly and instantly. As soon as he speaks the word. And you consider also that the plague was removed. As soon as the Savior spoke the word, the leprosy of this man was to disappear. The words of the verse puts it like this: immediately the leprosy departed from him. Without any further delay, the leprosy of this man had known working in his body for whatever length of time, we do not know. It was suddenly to be completely removed from him. It was to be separated from this man. This man, his life was reversed. The leprosy was removed, and men and women, Christ came that he might reverse the curse of sin that was in Adam in his transgression and in his fall. And the second Adam came that he might reverse that. And in Christ we have more than one Adam ever have. And Christ can give you more than you have tonight or you ever have will have without him. The Lord had worked this miracle in the life of this man, and he made all things new with him. That touch of the Master, that word of his power, was sufficient to not only halt the decaying and the polluting effect of the leprosy, but it was completely removed. Dear friends, still tonight in the pollution of your sin, and perishing without hope in this world or that which is to come, there is a healing balm in Gilead. Who can help you? There's one who can completely remove from you the guilt and the power and the defilement of your sin. For on that cross, God made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And there on that tree, he took our sins. He took the sins of his own people, and he made them his very own. And he bore those sins away in his own body on the cross. He paid the penalty. He paid the punishment for them that we deserved, so that we might not have to. He died that we might live. He was buried that he might carry them away as far as the east is from the west. So far as God removed our transgressions from us. That's what you can experience tonight in salvation. And the unclean soul who comes by faith to the Savior can know by experience a complete miracle taking place. Their sins removed from them, cleansed neath the precious blood never to be remembered against them anymore. You, dear friend, can know the plague of your sin being removed, just like this leprous man was too. He knew the power of the Savior revealed. He knew the plague removed. And you'll see the purity that was realized. For the people who knew this leper didn't need to look the second time to realize that a great miracle and a great change had been wrought. The one who knelt before the Lord in all his pollution and all his filth was now standing before him cleansed and made whole. You look at verse 42, and as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed. That blemished skin which showed the marks of this terrible disease was now made anew. And it was now without a blemish. And I don't know how far that leprosy had eaten into the body, but I believe that the Lord cleansed him completely. For God doesn't do things by half measures. And he didn't go to the cross to wrought out a half redemption or a half salvation. He finished the work. This man was completely cleansed. And instantly cleansed. And anyone who knew this man would have known his life has changed forever. He's a different man. And such was that change, and such was the assurance of his cleansing, that the Lord encouraged the man to go to the priest in order to get the certificate of health. That's what the Old Testament Levitical law stated. Look at the words of verse 44. He said unto him, "See, thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them." Christ didn't come to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. And he points this man back into the priest in the temple. Go and show yourself. For the reason being that he would be declared clean. He would be given a clean bill of health. There was no fear, you see, of any examination. For the work that the Lord does, it's open to any scrutiny. When the Lord saves, he really saves. And the change in the life can be attested without fear or without suspicion. And if you come and get saved tonight, there'll be others that'll see the difference. Your life will be changed. And your life will be changed from inside out. And the Lord says, "I will give you a new heart. I will put a new spirit within you. And you become a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things passed away. Behold, all things become new." Dear friend, you can be made in an instant pure and cleansed from all your sin if by faith you come to Christ. And that you have his blood savingly applied to your heart in salvation. And I tell you, the change in your life will be seen, and it will be testified that the hand of the Lord have done this. It'll not be a church, it'll not be a preacher, it'll not be a set of rules that'll do it. But it will be the Lord's hand that'll do it. The Lord has done this. Are you going to be coming tonight? I ask the question where I started, are you clean? Will you be clean? If so, come just now. Seek the Lord in mercy where you are. And thank God he'll enter in. And he'll cleanse your soul and he'll cleanse your heart from all sin. May you know his cleansing power tonight, even for Christ's sake. You might go home, as this leper did, rejoicing in what God has done. Let's bow our heads. A word of prayer in closing, please. We're here afterwards as God's servant for your sake. We gladly open the scriptures to you. If you have a concern about your soul tonight, we'll point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy precious word. We thank you, Lord, for the passage of which the Savior came and had compassion and touched the leper and commanded that he would be made clean. Lord, we bless thee. We read that that work was done instantly and completely. Lord, thou knowest those who are leprous tonight with sin. And the longer it goes on, the worse it gets. And there's a mass of sin that is piled up in their account before a holy God. And oh God, if there's one thing that the sinner needs tonight, it's that cleansing. And we praise thee, Lord, we can point them to the sin bearer. We can point them to the Lamb of God that beareth away the sin of the world. And I pray tonight thou would give deciding grace. Thou would command the word and it shall be done. Lord, bring that soul even to Christ. Bring that soul tonight to know new life in Him, to know cleansing in the precious blood, and to know what it is to be a child of God, robed in Christ's righteousness and accepted in the Beloved. Oh, hear our prayer. Heart us with thy blessing tonight. Lord, speak on when the preacher's voice is silent. For we're so conscious, O God, that we cannot cause an anxious thought. Lord, thou and thou alone must do the work. Salvation is of the Lord. God, I pray that thou would move upon souls this night. This might be a night of cleansing. This might be a night, Lord, where souls will be able to answer, yes, preacher, I'm clean. I've been cleansed in the precious blood of Christ. Oh, hear our prayer. Part us with thy blessing and in thy fear. Watch over us even the days of this week. For we ask these things in our Savior's name.